jumping on board with us today. We got a lot of digging in to do in regards to not only just terror threats happening all across the country, but the, Islamic terror threats. That's the only way that we could kind of put it these days, because the reality of it is folks, there's only one side looking to go out there and to murder Jews as they lay out on the beach and celebrate Hanukkah, or go after Christians as they celebrate at Christmas markets all across the world. There's only one group of people who are doing that. Only one. And the common thread here is Islam. Whether you want to believe it or not, I don't know how many more for us to tell you this. We've called out the threat extensively, obviously. Some people believe it's an active threat. Some people still don't. I don't know what more you need to see. Maybe crack open a Quran for yourself and see what kind of garbage they consume every day. But there's over 100 verses. I'll keep screaming this out. And I'm working on flagging each one. I've got my Quran. I'm reading through it. And I'm flagging all of the calls of violence for non-believers. The ones that also, and the verses in the Quran that also validate and justify raping non-believers, women specifically, of course, and using them as their personal sex slaves. Because in their Quran, it's acceptable, it's justified, it's encouraged. So this is what happens when you import these people. But apparently it's also happening in Poland, which I actually found to be shocking. According to just a report that was just released, there's apparently an ISIS threat, a terrorist attack that was being planned and plotted at a Christmas market in Poland. Now, the reason why this one is just setting off all red flags is Poland has historically pushed back and not allowed these Muslim migrants into their country. They've obviously been ridiculed by those over at the EU. They've been punished for just that, for pushing back on this threat. But it looks like, according to this report, and we'll go into detail in then just a little bit, that there was apparently a plot to attack a Christmas market in Poland. I'll bring you the latest on that in just a bit. Wanted to just say, you know, I was in Grapevine this weekend with my family, and we were trying to enjoy the, it's known as the Christmas capital of Texas, and it is absolutely beautiful. And as many of you guys know, right now there is just a total takeover of Islam in the region. We've seen 48 mosques go up within the last, I don't know, two years. And it's been absolutely devastating to see for as someone specifically who's in there. I hear music underneath me. I don't even understand how it's even possible. But for some reason, the local politicians haven't really done anything on that front. And the reality of it is as I'm sitting here just trying to walk with my family, we have to walk through concrete and metal barricades because, God forbid, if a vehicle goes rogue and decides to run over Christians, that's how they always spin it, right? It's the vehicles. Car hits people at Christmas market. Not Islamic terrorists who plows car through Christians peacefully enjoying the holiday season. No, never that. But the reality of it is we had to walk through these barricades to get in. And then I'm sitting here walking around as Muslims. And if it would be one thing if they actually wanted to enjoy the holiday spirit, enjoy and understand Christianity and why we celebrate Christmas. But it wasn't the case. It wasn't the case. It for them, they were rude, they were nasty, they were pushing, they were shoving. Wouldn't get out of the way. It's these aren't people who are like us. And when I say like us, you know, every other background has no problem with assimilating here to the in this country, pretty much, sometimes. But for some reason, these people think we owe them something, and they're pushy, they're shovy, they're nasty. And so we're seeing time and time again that these Christmas markets all across Europe, well, they're facing the threat of Islam. And the fact that Poland is saying that they had an Islamic terrorist attack that was being plotted is scary as heck, folks. Because Poland has consistently pushed back and prevented these individuals from coming into their country. So what the heck is going on here? We're going to dig into that in a little bit, plus bringing the latest in Australia. Because, of course, instead of dealing with these Islamic individuals you've imported into Australia, they want to go after your guns. And then we know this is why they let these terror attacks play out, because they want to use it as a gun grab. That's exactly what's happening to Australians. The 6% who have legally obtained their firearms right now, they are facing that very threat. I'll dig into that in just a bit. Don't go anywhere. More on the way.
Alex Jones, patriot, a man they tried to silence. They came for his voice, his platform, his life. but they can't stop him. Gentlemen, we can rebuild him. We have the technology. We have the capability to make the world's most unstoppable force. Alex Jones will be that man. Better than he was before. Better. Stronger. Faster. Louder.
Go to alexjonesapp.com, the number one news app in the world.
Yes!
You're tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello.
Welcome back to the American Journal. Thanks for jumping on board with us on this beautiful Tuesday morning. Today is Tuesday. I know it's been a crazy start to the week, and we're trying to follow all of the threats that are going on all across the world right now. As many of you guys know, Islam is one of the biggest threats that are going on because of, obviously, it's the holiday season. Whether you're in Australia and you're Jewish and you're just trying to enjoy the first night of Hanukkah with your family laying out on the beach, Islamic terrorists will gun you down. Whether you're just walking and strolling through a Christmas market because you want to, as a Christian, of course. But you can't do that in Europe anymore either. Because guess what? They're using their vehicles to go after people, to run them over, obviously. Because, well, the Quran tells them to go after and to kill. It's devastating. It's heartbreaking that we can't even enjoy the holiday season anymore because Islam has made its way across the West. But sadly, everyone's a coward and doesn't want to actually address the issue. I don't care what your political beliefs are on Israel. It has nothing to do with what we're talking about here. Yes, obviously, there are cases where Israel has been the reason why so many have flown, Middle Easterns, Muslims who have been able to make their way into the West. We've used it for the justification of bringing in asylum seekers sometimes. Okay, yeah, you got that. But the reality of it is they have been on a mission to conquer the West for hundreds and hundreds of years. And what's going on right now? Well, they're making their way. And for a very long time, I thought Poland was exempt from a lot of this because they were so brave when the EU decided to go after them and try to punish them for not taking in these Islamic refugees. But apparently that's not the case. There's a report that was just released regarding a Christmas market ISIS mass terror attack plot that was apparently prevented in Poland. Polish authorities have apparently stopped that from happening, which was expected to happen at a Christmas market. Now they're saying that this was a 19-year-old student. He's been arrested officially. He's apparently studying over at a Catholic university as well, which is very, very interesting here. The suspect, who apparently is a Polish citizen, is reportedly fascinated by Islam and terrorism, and he's accused of planning an explosive attack, researching how to manufacture that explosive, seeking contacts with ISIS members, and had intentions of joining ISIS to obtain support. Authorities emphasized the plot was to disturb, obviously, disrupt. That's what they did. They disrupted it. They ended it. They, thank God, were able to catch on to this, preventing potentially mass amount of casualties. So that's as we keep digging into this, we're learning more and more. Again, that report just came out. And Poland is not afraid of calling this stuff out. The fact that this was somebody who obviously is a native is deeply, deeply concerning. And it's not obviously just the immigration issue here, folks. We've got a real issue with things being done online, things happening online, recruitment online. So we'll see the details on that. I've actually just reached out to Polish officials and hopefully we get somebody on to talk about that within the next couple of hours. But again, if that's not the case, I'll just keep bringing you the latest and I'll keep asking them to send me information on that because, folks, Poland is one of the safest, safest countries. And so this is big, big news. But we're also examining other plots all across the world. And unfortunately, one was actually carried out in Australia. As many of you know, we reported about the father and the son who opened fire on those who were just trying to enjoy Hanukkah, the celebration at Bondi Beach over the weekend. These two demons opening fire on people who literally were doing nothing to them, but trying to enjoy time with their families. Killing 15 so far. Sadly, 15 have passed. And the stories are absolutely devastating. Now, apparently the son was a citizen. But in January, it looks like they had traveled to the Philippines to receive some type of training. The details get even, it's so devastating. So devastating. Because the civilians are unarmed. Only about 6% of those in Australia households have firearms because they crunched down on gun ownership back in the mid-90s. And the devastating news is apparently there was a couple. Boris and Sophia Gurman, brave couple in their 60s, who took on the one terrorist, and sadly, both of them lost their lives. Sadly, they both died in each other's arms. It's absolutely just a devastating story. But these two are brave. Brave. They tried to stop him after they spotted the terrorist emerging from a car draped with a homemade ISIS flag before the deadly rampage. The dramatic dashboard camera shows that Boris courageously tackled the terrorist on the streets and wrestled the gun away from him, tried to, while his wife tried to help. Patriots. It's just so devastating, man. This is just so devastating. All of this stuff is preventable if our governments didn't hate humanity. Now, again, we're learning more and more specifically what was used to radicalize these individuals. Wissam Hayadeh, I guess I should say. My friends always crack jokes at me when I just go, let's just call him Mohammed. But he's an individual who's been in Sydney, Australia for quite some time now, and he has been what many have accused him of as being an ISIS hate preacher. Now, this individual, we played a clip for you yesterday, we're going to play it again. But apparently one of those terrorists, the one who's currently in custody and survived, sadly. Well, according to reports, he listened to this preacher quite often. He was actually a big fan of him. Now, if you're wondering what kind of inspirational things this preacher preached, take a listen to clip 3.
We can't take away from the fact, first and foremost, that jihad is definitely part of our deen. And as Muslims, we should never ever shy away from this. And yes, there may be types of jihad, but of the peak of this jihad is that which the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam spoke about, and I'll read the hadith soon. And that is fighting in the path of Allah azza wa jalla. A physical fight, not the fighting of the nafs. Although your nafs is needed in order for your physical to go out in the path of Allah. So we're not talking about the struggle of the nafs, we're talking about the physical jihad, the physical struggling against the enemies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in order to make the word of Allah azza wa jal the highest. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says to, which means not equal are those believers remaining at home other than the disabled and the mujahideen, who strive and fight in the cause of Allah with their wealth and their lives. Allah has preferred the mujahideen through their wealth and their lives. And for those who remain behind, by degrees. And to both Allah has promised the best reward. But Allah has preferred the mujahideen over those who remain with a great reward.
Remember when Australia was going after those who were putting up videos or posts about the COVID jabs? They went there with all of their authorities, all their police officers, went after people. But someone like that, I wonder why he was able to preach in Australia. He's clearly telling you that Allah, whoever that is, really enjoys not those who peacefully practice their so-called religion. But he says specifically that he likes those who go out there and kill. That's what he's talking about there. It's absolute garbage. It's absolute garbage. Why would Australia allow that individual to preach? Again, that's not free speech, and they don't have free speech in Australia. So why? Why would you allow that? Well, many probably could say, because you'd like to see a terrorist attack take place, and then you could use it as another opportunity to do another gun grab. It's not a real conspiracy, it's the reality, because within seconds, of course, of these terrorist attacks taking place, before the bodies even go cold, you've got local officials preaching, screaming, gun control, that's what we need. Now, again, it looks like that the individuals who did carry out this terrorist act, those demons, did legally obtain those firearms. I don't know, maybe individuals who shouldn't belong in your country in the first place, maybe just don't give them firearms. You know, people who come from countries that hate us, don't give them firearms. That's the only gun control I'm an advocate of these days. The rest of it's absolute garbage because they don't want the people in Australia to be able to defend themselves. And we'll go into why that's so important, but it's good to see. It's a little refreshing. The former Australian Prime Minister, Tony Abbott, is now ripping Islam and all the imports that have come into the country over the last, you know, couple of years. 600,000, in case you're wondering. Take a listen to clip four.
Some versions of Islam are not really compatible with life in a liberal, democratic, pluralist society. Strict versions of Islam are not consistent with, for argument's sake, freedom of conscience, freedom of speech, freedom of religion, democracy. I mean, you can believe in the virgin birth and still support liberal democracy. You can believe in the real presence and still support liberal democracy. But I don't believe that you can support Sharia law, for instance, certainly not a strict form of Sharia law, and still support liberal democracy. And I do think that for too long we have run away from these issues with this facile idea that all cultures are equal, all cultures are pretty much the same, everyone's basically a good bloke, and what we've seen is that under the influence of extremist ideas and hate preaching, not everyone is a good bloke, certainly not all the time to everyone.
That's him putting it nicely. I don't believe there's anything called radical Islam. It's not a real thing. If you're reading the Quran and you follow what's in the Quran, there's over 100 verses that validate, that encourage you to carry out terror attacks just like that. Over 100. Maybe you want to debate a couple. Maybe you say, 20 of them aren't. I mean, there's still what? 80? 80 others? And to sit here and say that this is not a threat is pretty insane, folks. It's pretty insane. Polish people can't even celebrate Christmas without the threat of an ISIS terror attack. By the way, we all know who created ISIS. We don't even need to. It's a whole nother discussion. Oh, and we're still funding the Taliban, in case you're wondering too, by the way. Just thought I'd remind you of that. Our government's an absolute disgrace, but Australia really takes the cake these days. If you're wondering, okay, they use these Islamic terrorist attacks to justify taking firearms away from legal, responsible people who just want to defend their families in case something does happen to them. Yeah, we could all understand that. But the government continues to say, no, you can't own a firearm. You can't. I'm going to listen to clip six, because again, they're pushing for more gun control to get this, to fight back on anti-Semitism. Take a listen.
Well, we have to do all these things together. I mean, that's the truth. This is just a horrible, horrible crime. And I think taking one action would be nowhere near enough, to combat the scale of the challenges that are in front of us. So, yes, we do have to do gun reform. Sorry, folks, I know you want to get your questions out, but I think it's reasonable we get an answer out. Yes, we have to do gun control. It's incredibly important that we fight anti-Semitism. And one of the things about anti-Semitism is that it begins with hate speech, then it might be a chant at a rally, then it moves online, then it becomes graffiti on a Jewish building, then it's malicious damage, then arson, and then it escalates to the kind of horrific violence that we saw yesterday. We have to combat it across the board.
Combating it across the board. No, how about you combat, you little coward, the key problem here, it's not anti-Semitism, it's Islam. Everyone's too afraid to say it, though. You can't say it. No. It's so frustrating to sit back and see. Because regardless, whether it's Jews, Christians, Hindus, even their own, if they're not radical enough, they kill them. What does that tell you? The problem isn't the firearms. Again, we see that in the UK all the time. Taking away their guns, they get knives. You can't stop the killing. Why? Well, because they don't want it to stop. They don't want it to stop. And now everyone has a problem in the West. You've allowed Islam to infest your communities. And what's happening? Well, what you see unraveling today. They're using it as validation to pull away their firearms. 6% of Australian homeowners have guns. 6%. Drastic dip from back in the mid-90s. Of course, they use that terror attacks who carry out the gun grab, which they always do. That's why so many people are skeptical as to why these federal agencies never make a move prior to these terrorist attacks taking place. But again, this is the consistency here. They are all cowards. They are all cowards. But you're supposed to rely on law enforcement. That's what Australia wants you to do now. They want to take the guns away from the people who could have prevented it. Those two brave patriots who tried their best to tackle the terrorist as he made his way out of the car. They were slaughtered. But imagine if they had a firearm. Imagine if they were able to shoot and kill him before he shot and killed them. They don't want you talking about that, though. That's why the story just came out today. Instead, police have to be the ones to carry only. Police, the same police that arrived on scene and, according to one witness, waited about 20 minutes before exchanging fire with those two Islamic terrorists. Now, when grilled upon it about that story itself, clip five, well, they don't want to talk about it. Take a listen.
Commissioner, Bondi survivor Shmulik Skouri told the 7 Network this morning he saw four police officers at the scene in Bondi. None of them fired a weapon, and he was saying he didn't understand why. He's an Israeli national. To Mr. Skouri, what do you say to him that the police didn't do their job and fire back at that gunman?
I can't comment in relation to that actual report. What I'll say is that I'm incredibly proud of our police officers. They were confronted by two men armed with long arms. Our police at the scene were armed with pistols.
Regarding the timeline of that, can you just outline when did the first police officer arrive at the scene?
I don't have that timeline in front of me. That's obviously part of the investigation. I've been really clear. Both the critical incident investigation and the JCTT investigation will be thorough.
Yeah. So again, when you're waiting on law enforcement to do their damn job, you know what happens? They can't do it. Why? Because, well, a lot of people freeze up in instances like that in terror attacks. They do not want to die. And so, as you saw, we've seen the videos, we've seen the images of those officers waiting behind vehicles. They were armed. And that's why they won't confirm that for you. Instead, they'll give themselves a pat back. At least one did his job. Yeah, but it costs lives. Do you allow them to open fire on individuals laying on a beach for over, what, 20 minutes? And it gets even worse when you start reading the details. I mean, there was this one brave man who we've played the clips of his family celebrating him. It apparently gets worse because, I mean, according to the reports, when police did arrive and did have the cojones to open fire, they apparently got the wrong guy. The heroic civilian who tried his best to go after those two terrorists, well, apparently he was shot, not by the terrorists, but by PD. The police, apparently. So again, time and time again, we keep seeing these stories. Don't worry, the police will come and save you. But man, oh man, is it hard to put your personal safety in the arms of people who consistently, under these types of threats, fold every single time. Yes, of course, you could say, oh, Brianna, it's tougher. Tough to sit there and criticize them. You don't know what's going on. Being in the moment is very, very horrifying. It's very, very scary. Yeah, all that true. All that true. But then if that's the case, leave their guns alone. Allow law-abiding citizens to carry. To carry. Can't do that, though. And I'll give you some brief overview here in the United States when it comes to the gun grab. Of course, they're using this to validate it. I'll just give you a quick like little summary of this. You know, Chuck Schumer, Nancy Pelosi, both going out there and pushing for a gun grab. Chuck Schumer specifically going out and calling it out and saying, yeah, we need to start confiscating. Well, it is like confiscating. I'll be nice here. Saying that we in the United States need strict gun laws. Yeah, because that helped Australia, didn't it? Of course, they like to sit there and go back to, well, when they did the gun grab back in the 90s. Things really turned around for them. Yeah, no thanks, Chuck. No thanks. Also, Tim Walz. You know, the guy in Minnesota, apparently he is not doing too well, but mentally, obviously I'm referring there. But he's sitting here and pushing out propaganda saying that those in his state truly do really want in Minnesota a gun grab. Nearly 70%. Are in agreement that we need to support an assault weapons ban. Does anyone know what that means? Assault weapons ban? Nah. Oh, yeah, this is great. Thanks, guys. See, this is the thing, right? I'm no gun expert. I'm an expert on my own firearms, but I will not sit here and pretend to know what I'm doing. Unless you're running for president and you want to really attract a masculine man, masculine men to vote for you. You put this guy up there who has no idea what he's doing. Absolutely no idea. He's actually a danger to the rest of this country when you give him a firearm. But not those law-abiding citizens, of course. But he's using this poll, which of course is a garbage poll, claiming that 79% of Minnesotans really support a ban on assault weapons, like the AR-15, as they say it on their website. Propaganda. They're hoping you eat it up and pretend like the majority of Americans who are responsible gun owners support that stuff. Of course they don't. Of course they don't. And we've seen it here in this country. You try to take the guns away, guess who gets a hold of them? Oh, you mean criminals? Yeah. Those are the ones who are armed up and ready to go at any moment. All right, we got more to discuss in just a bit. Larry Tonin joining us in just a moment to discuss the Islamic threat that's been happening, obviously. As many of you guys know, we can't celebrate Christmas, Hanukkah, or any real holiday because, well, we've imported Islam to our countries. Larry will be joining us in a moment to discuss all things related to that. In the meantime, though, head on over right now to the alexjonesstore.com. We've got 60% off right now on key supplements. Yes, you heard that right. 60% off. The sea moss gummies, methylene blue, and so much more. Go straight to the website right now and take a look at the 60% off supplements that we have going on right now. Also on discount, you got to try it. The creatine gummies. I can't shut up about that. The reason why I have all the energy that I have in the morning. So head on over to thealexjonesstore.com right now and make sure you grab yourself some while supplies last over at thealexjonesstore.com. More on the way. Don't go anywhere.
My pillow alone, just my pillow, not counting me, it cost them over $200 million directly related to Arctic frost, everybody. What they've done to my company, tried to just wipe them off the face of the earth because I'm out there going, we need to secure our elections. We need to secure our elections. We need to get rid of the machines. We need to go to paper ballots.
You were literally terrorized and targeted, and it's in the documents.
And that thing goes so deep. It's funny, Alex, things go so far, and then they tend to get stopped. But you guys, just know, I am never stopping. I will never stop. And number one, my number one thing is we need to secure our election platform.
Let's talk about this. People supporting what you're doing and getting the highest quality, you name it, great products. Almost all of it made in America. Your great Giza sheets have that special cotton everybody knows comes from Egypt, but you're amazing. Right. I've got some on my king bed. Talk about the incredible products you've got at mypillow.com/Alex. And again, I want to be clear. Right. We are only here still hanging on, but now people support at thealexjonesstore.com or at mypillow.com/Alex is absolutely critical. This is now literally up to you every month whether we're going to stay in this fight. We're both workaholics. We love people. We love telling the truth. You know, these corrupt people, you know, think we're schmucks because we're not corrupt. No, we know how to be corrupt if we wanted to, dumbasses. But we like being good people. That's what builds a society.
We're the tip of the spear. This is it. We only get one shot at this. And like I said, about 2 years ago, they said, Mike, would you, if you could turn back time here and go back, and if you wanted to spoke out about the election, wouldn't stand your ground. You know, look what they've destroyed, tried to destroy you. I said, I would never change a thing knowing what I know and knowing what this is critical. And that's where we're at. And it's because of all of you, because you buy our products. And that's why we're putting right now on sale our five flagship products. We have five flagship products, our biggest products of all time. For you go to mypillow.com/Alex, and you guys are going to see we've got the Giza Dream Sheets. If you put that thing up there, these are all for Christmas presents, you guys. You can get the best Christmas presents ever. The Giza Dream Sheets, the towels, the slippers. On the MyPillow Premiums, we've sold 85 million MyPillows because they work. You save over 50% on those. And then the mattress toppers made in the USA, $149.98, as low as that, depending on the size. But we got in the premium My Towels that actually work. You save 50% there, $39.98. And here's one of my favorites, the My Slippers. Best slippers in history. They're normally $149.98, $39.98. And once they're gone, they're gone. We can't get those back. They're made with impact gel, made out of soybeans. And so you walk on them, and it's like walking on a cloud. It's absolutely awesome, this patented gel that's in there. And then you have the Giza Dream Sheets. It's my favorite product. It's our president's favorite product. And not as low as $29.98. And I'm going to show you one more. You guys go there, and you're getting five of these Bible pillows. These are very dear to me. They've got stories on the back. You get basically five Christmas gifts for $29.98 for all five. You got the baby Jesus, Noah's Ark, Daniel in the Lion's Den, but you get all five of them. So you get five individual gifts for under $6 a piece. Free shipping, promo code Alex on your entire order. No matter what you are, this is an exclusive free shipping on your entire order. So go to mypillow.com/Alex, and it's a win, win, win. You guys are supporting my employee-owned company. You're getting the best products at the best prices in history. You're supporting this great, Alex's great show. I'll tell you, Alex, I can't be prouder, more proud than anyone that support your show and what you put out and help save this country more than anyone, and I mean that.
You're tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
All right, welcome back to the American Journal. We're excited you're all jumping on with us. Of course, a lot more to dive into. So buckle up. It's going to be a big one. All right, so I wanted to tell you all, we kind of went into it in detail in regards to a terror plot that was apparently taking place in Poland. Now, this is really scary given the fact that Poland has not brought in any of these Muslim migrants. But according to reports, there was someone obviously who is a Polish national who apparently was looking to carry out an ISIS-inspired terror plot on a Christmas market. Now, the Polish security services have detained a 19-year-old who is apparently a student at a Catholic university who was looking to create these explosives and carry out this plot on the Christmas market. So we're learning more and more about that. But that's all the information we have right now. Now, obviously, there's probably more there. But given the fact that Poland has completely rejected and has been retaliated against in regard to not taking in any of these Muslim migrants because the EU has not been very happy with them. They've called them all different types of names for wanting to put their people first. This is deeply, deeply concerning. So how could someone be radicalized, obviously, as someone who lives in Poland, wants to now join ISIS? I mean, that's deeply concerning. But the reality of it is this is sweeping the entire world. ISIS is a very large threat, and obviously we know how this was all created, sadly. The reality of it is everyone is now dealing with this. There's no country that has been untouched by this ongoing threat. I want to play this clip for you because Australian officials are revealing specifically the key details in all of this. by the Australia terror attack on Bondi Beach by giving you the details without giving you the key details. And they're using this moment to push for stricter gun laws, given the fact that Australia has some of the strictest we've seen thus far. Take a listen to clip 16.
Our approach to this terrible crime in New South Wales is multifaceted, but I want to make it clear that our efforts to firstly work with the New South Wales Police on counter-terrorism efforts continue. Secondly, fighting anti-Semitism in our community, which will not be done in a week or a month, but is a long-term important project for the government of New South Wales, working with civic leaders and the people of this state. Thirdly, gun law reform in New South Wales, with legislation brought into the New South Wales Parliament to make gun laws tougher in this state. I'm determined to bring in the toughest gun laws in Australia, and they'll be significantly tightened in New South Wales.
And it's interesting, right? Because they're pushing both South Wales, obviously. They're pushing throughout Australia. Here in the United States, they're pushing stricter gun laws, as if gun laws are the problem. Gun restriction needs to be buckled up. That's what they're trying to push. You know, we've talked about it, Chuck Schumer, Nancy Pelosi, and we've heard Tim Walz here in the States pushing for stricter gun laws. But it's not the guns that are the problem. We have people in power right now who are refusing to address the greater issue here, and that's the Islam that we've imported over these last few years now. Well, it's finally hitting its breaking point, and the people are starting to see the true threat. Joining me to discuss, a man who's traveled the world and has studied this extensively. Welcome to the show, Larry Taunton. He's the host of Ideas Have Consequences, and he is back joining us to discuss just that. Larry, it's good to have you on, of course, because I've been sitting back and watching all of these global leaders popping out and saying, oh no, the problem here is guns. Even though they've imported Islam into their countries, we're refusing to call that out. And now we're also seeing places like Poland that are dealing with this ISIS threat, even though they've rejected these Muslim migrants completely, but it's finding ways to leak in through the internet. So what do you make of the very latest? Because again, Christians celebrating Christmas at Christmas markets, Jews celebrating the first night of Hanukkah on the beach, Hindus also just enjoying vacations. I mean, we're seeing the Islam threat all around the world, and very few are willing to call it out.
Yeah, well, they waste no tragedy, do they, Brianna? They're going to use it to push their agenda along, which, of course, is disarming decent law-abiding people, particularly in countries that have traditionally had, some element of a gun culture. So, for instance, me growing up in the American South, grew up going to high school with a gun rack, you know, in the back window. Those who are my age and older will recall that, gun racks in just about every house. And yet there were no mass shootings. The real problem here is the fact that the media has plotted to amputate the ideology that's driving this from the attacks themselves. So the result is that, you know, many people come away thinking, well, gosh, you know, these people were just insane. The actions of the shooters at Bondi Beach and in Syria and elsewhere, they're not crazy people. What they're doing is completely consistent and logical given their worldview, which of course is Islamic ideology.
Yeah. And that's the part that's really concerning here, because, again, we hear people continuing to defend it, also saying that there's radical Islam and Islam. Do you see a difference in this, Larry? Because I have someone who has examined the Quran. I'm actually doing a project myself right now where I'm flagging each individual page where I find a call for acts of violence so that we could bring that straight to our audience every day. But the reality of it is we see people go out there and try to make there seem like there's a difference. There's radical Islam and Islam. Do you see a difference?
No, there's not. And let me provide just a little bit of context for that. I'm in the Islamic world, frequently. I've debated high-level Muslims on CNN International and Al Jazeera and where the real radicals meet, which is in Hyde Park, London. Now, when I had a run-in in Cairo earlier this year with highly publicized event resulting in me providing some testimony to Congressional Oversight Committee, outside of the USAID compound in Cairo. One of the people who was key in me surviving that was a good Muslim friend. Now, he's a Muslim, culturally speaking. He does not take Islam particularly seriously. So the point that I'm trying to make here is that Islam, when it's practiced seriously, when you're taking the Hadith seriously, you're reading it as you're supposed to as a Muslim, when you're reading the Quran and taking it seriously as you're supposed to as a Muslim, and when you're modeling your life after Muhammad, as all serious Muslims are supposed to do, the result is this. This is what you get. So they're not radical Muslims who are doing these things. They're Orthodox Muslims. And so those Muslims you know who are very nice people, they're not nice because they're Muslims. They're nice because they've chosen not to take Islam especially seriously.
Yeah, and that's the part that I have a hard time wrapping my mind around. Like you just detailed, the person who you know personally, how are they able to rationalize, though? Because this is something that I've never been able to understand, and maybe you could help me understand it a little bit better, Larry. You know, when you say you practice and you're Muslim, how can you sit there and practice something that calls for over 100 acts of violence to non-believers? How can you skip past all of that and then still believe in the religion itself?
You know, that's an excellent question, Brianna. I think the way they get around that in my own experience is by really just kind of suppressing the question. Mm-hmm. They really don't want to think about that. And they'll say to you, you know, I don't believe that. I don't think that's the right thing to do. I don't think that's actual Islam. And when I try to push them and say, no, it actually is, because this is what the Quran says, and this is what the Hadith says, and this is what Muhammad did. I mean, Bondi Beach, you know, opening up shooting against, you know, largely a Jewish population here on this particular beach, which, of course, was the goal. Muhammad slit the throats of 800 Jews in a single day and tossed their bodies into a ditch, meaning that is Islam. They're supposed to copy him, model him the same way that Christians are supposed to model Jesus Christ. But there's a big difference between the two. So I just think that so-called moderate Muslims, they're not really serious Muslims, or what I call cultural Muslims, meaning their parents were Muslim, the country they grew up in is Muslim, but they're not particularly into the holy writings of Islam.
Larry, would you consider, because I know, you know, in Texas, for an example, when I was sitting there at the public hearing that they held for EPIC, that's the East Plano Islamic Center they're trying to build up. They've purchased the land, but a lot of people were trying to argue and say that this is a First Amendment issue because they were bringing up Islam as a religion. Do you deem this? Do you think this is actually a religion?
Well, whether it is or not, let me just run with it and just say, okay, it is a religion. It really doesn't matter because, like, for instance, a senator from my own home state, Alabama, Tommy Tuberville, is currently stating, you know, we need to ban Sharia. I would have Senator Tuberville take it back, you know, one more step. We need to ban Islam. And the reason is because Islam is an ideology, or if you prefer, you can call it a religion, but it's one that is antithetical to our Constitution. Therefore, it's, you know, it's eliminated from constitutional protection because it is, by definition, misogynistic. It is, by definition, anti-Semitic. It's, by definition, pedophilic. It's a religion of violence. By definition, it is an ideology of conquest and therefore doesn't deserve First Amendment protection.
Yeah, and I think that's key here, too. And, you know, so we're on the topic of anti-Semitism. I think it's interesting to play this clip 14, I want to play for you, because this is the reaction of the Australian Prime Minister after the Bondi Beach massacre, the terror attack that took place that day. Take a listen.
Just briefly, to be clear, your priority from National Cabinet in relation to the gun laws, what is the number one priority for you?
I would put them all together, making sure that they operate effectively and that they're kept up to date and that they're updated for the changing threat. We live in a more dangerous world in 2025. The threat of anti-Semitism, as we have seen, is very real. Threats of other occurrences, such as the rise in the far right, which has also been identified, of course, by Mike Burgess, is also a threat as well.
It's interesting to hear him just say anti-Semitism and then also blame those on the far right. I don't see the connection here, Larry, do you?
No, absolutely not, and there's none. But it comes back to where we began, and that is they're not going to let this tragedy go to waste. They're going to use it to push an ideology that they know. They know they're lying when they say these kinds of things. And by the way, the statistics show that quite frequently in these kinds of shooting events, now it sounds like the perpetrators at Bondi Beach, they had weapons legally. They were members of gun clubs and these kinds of things. But let's just take something like, let's say the Charlie Hebdo, you know, massacre, again, perpetrated by Muslims in Paris. What did they use? They used 3 fully automatic rifles. They used 10 smoke grenades. They used Molotov cocktails, rocket launchers, sticks of dynamite, grenades, all of which are illegal. So the laws here aren't going to do anything but prevent law-abiding citizens from having weapons to defend themselves. And that's critical in this. 2A exists here in the United States for a reason, and every other freedom we have hangs on that one, Second Amendment right there.
Yeah, and it's a very important one. And I also wanted to get your take on the devastating news in Syria. You know, we spoke about this at length yesterday, but we obviously have 3 Americans who are killed in Syria, 2 of them being soldiers, National Guardsmen as well. As many of our audience knows, we detailed that yesterday for everyone. But specifically, a lot of Americans are wondering, why the heck are we still in Syria? Your reaction to the terror attack, the ISIS terror attack that took place, because we're hearing from the Pentagon, and I've asked follow-up questions to get more information about this, but the individual who carried out this heinous crime is someone who apparently is ISIS, is someone who's being described as a lone shooter, but also, according to several reports not confirmed by our Pentagon, this individual was somebody who was also fighting with the Syrian forces. So what do you make of what took place over the weekend in Syria?
Well, didn't Biden tell us that ISIS was eliminated? I mean, they were done. They were just not an issue. And yet the shooting at Bondi Beach, it's an ISIS connection. And then we have this shooting in Syria, another ISIS connection. I lived in the south of France for a few years and in a small French village, Brianna. And in this French village, as in every French village, and we're talking very small, there was an Islamic study center. And the French were shocked when in 2015, the people of this village are watching French television and they see a blue-eyed, blonde-headed kid from their town on TV. He is in Syria and he is burning his passport and has joined ISIS. So these kinds of things, you know, this has been going on for quite a while. And why are these things happening? Well, in large part, you know, I would trace it back to, dare I say, suppression of belief in God. And you end up with all of these kids who are directionless. They have no purpose in life. And then here comes Islam offering them something, a real mission, and one that appeals to boys, in part because Islam is a religion created by men for men to fulfill every carnal desire. You want to rape women? You can in Islam. Allah approves. You want to kill people? We do that. God allows you to do that. You want to pillage and destroy? ISIS is for you. Islam is for you. That's the religion that we're talking about. And that's why it has a lot of appeal, not just in the Middle East, but also increasingly in the Western world.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's deeply concerning. And speaking of that, you know, here in the United States, we are trying to fight off the illegals that have come into the country. I know the Trump administration has made that a top priority for them. And we just got this clip moments ago, and I actually wanted to play it for you, Larry, because in clip 17, we're seeing chaos amongst the Somalian population as federal agents are trying to make their way into the community. Let's take a look.
Go!
watch this play out for a little bit longer, but if you're listening audio only and you don't see the visual here, they are actually chasing those federal agents who are obviously just trying to do their job. But Larry, we talk about it all the time. This is an ongoing issue for our federal agents who are trying to take some of the worst off the streets these days. And, you know, I've asked DHS specifically about a recent report that came out that they're only focused on those with violent priors, the worst of the worst, as they always put it. And they wouldn't give me 100% confirmation, just saying that they've always focused on just that. But the polling numbers seem to be kind of showing that the American people only want violent illegal aliens tossed out of the country, that they don't really have a stomach for just those who are law. I mean, they're not even law abiding. They're criminals, too. But I mean, those who are not violent, they don't want to see them deported. What do you make of this footage that just came out moments ago?
Well, I would say in this instance, ICE, they're heroes.
Yeah.
But you're also getting a picture here of what Islam actually is. Where are all the Muslim leaders around the world stepping up to offer aid and to condemn the violence from these attacks? Where are they? Well, of course, they don't actually exist. And what we're seeing here is, you know, the focus on simply those who are, quote unquote, have violent priors. The reality is every Muslim in this video has the potential to be that. And that is because they're often, I've had Muslims tell me this. In fact, a Syrian who's currently living under fatwa, meaning a death sentence because he became a Christian. But I recall him telling me in a secret meeting, he couldn't meet anywhere publicly, in a secret meeting telling me that the way Muslims are radicalized, that is, moderates become radical, is he said, we're shamed and being told that we're not good Muslims and that Allah is displeased with us and we face eternity in hell. And this serves to radicalize them. That's what happens. And at the most basic level, Brianna, I would put it like this: to let Islam into our country, indeed into any country that hopes to remain free, it's like letting the orcs into the Shire.
Yeah, no, it truly, truly is, Larry, and you're spot on with that. We hope that there's enough time where we could pull this back and we could try to fix these issues. I know our federal agencies are trying, DHS specifically, I'll give them credit. They are very much trying and focused on doing just that. But we will sit back and watch. Larry Taunton, thank you for joining me, of course, folks. Give him a follow on X. Larry Taunton is where you could find him at. He's also the host of Ideas Have Consequences. I like that name. Larry, thank you for joining us. We appreciate your time as always.
Always delighted to be with you, Brianna. Take care.
Thank you. It's a pleasure, my friend. Folks, I just got another update in regards to the Clintons, and I'm going to bring this to you right now. It looks like the House Oversight Committee Chairman, Mr. James Comer, well, he's being very, very kind, apparently. He has now pushed back the deposition dates for both Bill Clinton and Hillary Clinton, warning that if they refuse to testify regarding the investigation into Jeffrey Epstein, that this will immediately trigger contempt of Congress proceedings. And I'm sure both Bill and Hillary will take this threat very seriously. I think they will. Nah, probably not. They never do. They understand that this DOJ is a conglomerate of cowards and they will never, never go to prison because, well, everyone fears the consequences of going after these two you see here. So James Comer issuing another threat, probably another aggressive letter. We hope there's some action to follow on that one, but I won't sell you a dream. I'll just spit the truth to you. It's more that we're going to be diving into. Specifically, though, I'll get into this into the next hour. If you don't follow me on X, I'll take a second to brag, but you're kind of missing out. Yesterday, we got the very first update. I brought it to you first before anyone else regarding Mark Kelly. I'll give you that update in just a few moments. But again, if you missed my tweet, you missed out. The corporate media followed after I released the details, and we'll give it to you next. We'll also be discussing President Trump's executive order that he's just signed declaring that fentanyl is a weapon of mass destruction. We'll see what that means. Obviously, as you guys know, he has declared a war on the drugs that are being brought into this country with thousands of Americans being killed. And he has made this a top priority. So I'll bring you the latest on that. Plus, President Trump suing BBC for a whopping chunk of change. Got that coming up next. It's a big one. It's a big one. We'll also show you the edited footage to kind of help you understand specifically as to where he's going with all of this. I want to play clip 15 for you, though, because yesterday Michelle Obama spoke about Rob Reiner. As many of you guys know, Rob Reiner and his wife, Michelle, were apparently were murdered by their son, who struggled with addiction issues. And it's devastating to see, because I think most Americans understand what it's like to have someone that you love dearly struggle with addiction. And the way that they were both killed was absolutely just heartbreaking, egregious. I can't even think the words to describe it. Obviously, President Trump, I spoke out against it. I know many others did as well, putting out not only just the post on Truth Social, but also giving us a soundbite that I won't even replay because I thought it was completely disgusting. We should always be as humane, I guess would be the term. I mean, we should not be going after somebody who was just murdered, brutally murdered by his own son, had his throat slit. I mean, there's no reason to bring politics into this. We are all human beings. We could agree to disagree. We could be respectful of one another. If you have nothing nice to say, don't say anything at all. So my mom's always told me, but unfortunately, that's not the case for the president, who's being ill-advised on that front. But Michelle Obama yesterday spoke out and kind of made a little jab at President Trump. Take a listen.
Thanks for bringing up. I know you and your husband were friends with Rob and Michelle Reiner, and I'm very sorry for your loss.
Oh, my God.
How long have you known the Reiners?
We've known them for many, many years, and we were supposed to be seeing them that night, last night. And we got the news. And let me just say this, unlike some people, Rob and Michelle Reiner are some of the most decent, courageous people you ever want to know. They're not deranged or crazed. What they have always been are passionate people in a time when there's not a lot of courage going on. They were the kind of people who were ready to put their actions behind what they cared about, and they cared about their family, and they cared about this country, and they cared about fairness and equity, and that is the truth. I do know them.
Michelle Obama.
So obviously Michelle Obama announcing that they were expected to have dinner the night before, which is news to the world, of course. It's just absolutely devastating to see, and it's disappointing to see the president speak so ill upon someone who is just brutally murdered, of course. All right, we got more kicking off in the third hour of the show. Don't go anywhere. We'll be taking your calls as well. So if you'd like to chat, give us a call, 877-789-2539. We'll talk in a bit.
Real quick, I just wanted to plug the Methylene Blue. I'm a new supplement buyer from Alex Jones Store, and I keep hearing people talking about the Methylene Blue, and I'm like, you know what? I don't know what the hype is all about, but I definitely want to try it. And what I noticed is I didn't get the sensations that a lot of the other people said that they got, you know, like the tingling fingers and like this, you know, euphoria. But I do have an ample amount of energy, and I'm disabled, so I'm a housewife, and whenever you're at home, day in and day out, 7 days a week, it really tends to drag after some time. And there were things that I wasn't doing around the house that I should have. But now I'm getting things done like really quick. I have all this extra time on my hands now. And I really think it's the Methylene Blue that's been giving me the energy. And it's so funny because now like my silly husband's calling me a meth head, which is hilarious. But yeah, so I'm going to stick on that. And I actually have some bovine coming in today, so I can't wait to try that out. I'm also going to give that to my dog because, you know, I need a lot of help too. And I brought online that's really good for your dog if you give them like a small little amount of the food. So I'm going to do that. But yeah, I just thought I would tell you guys about my experiences so far. So,
well, Jen, thank you. That's amazing to hear. And we love to hear that, honestly. I mean, that's the reason why Alex has created the shop, so people can get, you know, get healthier, not be relying on big pharmaceutical companies, but instead take control of their health. So that's good to hear. You know, I've fluctuated weight wise too. And so finding something that works is really important, and not to get hooked on those like high caffeine, insane chemicals, energy drinks, which so much of us have relied on over the years. I literally was getting anxiety from one of them. And so I too am on the blue these days. So I guess your husband would call me a meth head, but it's good to hear from you, Jen. I love it. I think it's great. And I love to hear from you as well.